welcome to episode 32 of Divided by Werewolves. Mitch and I are 2 days away from the Divided by Werewolves meet-a-thon, I guess, which is just two of us.
And the reunion.
Yeah, the reunion. Going to see Kevin Smith at Center Stage in Atlanta, and it is an exciting time.
It sure is.
I wish it was tomorrow, to be perfect.
I do, too, actually. I'm ready to go.
Wait another few days? What is that? What's that all
about?
Sucks. So so that should be a good time. Actually, I don't really care. Like, what he could just come out and be like, you know what? Just all you talking about yourself, and I'd be like, no
problem. Yeah, right.
We'll just hang out. Bullshit.
We could, yeah. For as much as we hang out and play video games online in person, I can't help but feel like we talk even longer. So
right, exactly. I feel bad for your friend. I'm be like, dude, shut up. Just back away. You know, we try not to get political on the show, although I don't think it's any surprise where our leanings go. But I'm just going to put out there that, you know, maybe when visiting the hurricane-ravaged countryside of Puerto Rico, don't throw paper towel rolls out into the crowd like you're the fucking t-shirt cannon guy at a Green Day concert. Like, I'm just again, I don't know the pressures that go along with being president. I would make a horrible president. Nobody would want that. I'd be all like, you know what, these Transformers are bullshit with how expensive they are. Get Hasbro on the line.
Right?
I need an executive order. I remember when this shit was $10.
Exactly.
Fucking make it happen.
Yeah, get me the guy in charge of Hot Toys on the fucking horn, because $300, well, yeah. I don't know about that.
Like, I need a Diva Funko Pop in here, like, stat. I don't want to hear about how that shit's not available. I'm the leader of the goddamn free world.
That shit cost $8 to make. Fuck $38.
Goddamn,
are you kidding?
Right. Yeah.
10 is plenty for as many of those to sell.
Exactly. So, and, you know, unfortunately, it has been a rough few months between the hurricanes and the recent tragedy in Las Vegas, and we have a tendency, unfortunately, because things have been so shitty, that one shitty thing replaces the next shitty thing, not just in the news, but in our own consciousness. And if, but, you know, there's still people in Texas that need help, or Florida, or Puerto Rico. So, you know, kick a little money towards the Red Cross. I did it. You know,
donate blood.
Donate
if blood. If nothing else, that's free.
Yeah, that's free. Absolutely. You get cookies.
Yeah, you get
juice.
I gave blood once, no shit, just for Nutter Butters. I was hungry.
I would probably fuck a hobo for a Nutter Butter.
Exactly.
I don't.
So giving blood was the easy choice.
And that would be the best goddamn night of that hobo's life. I just want to put that out there. Okay. I just want to put out there that hobo would get more out of that than I got out of the Nutter Butter. But yeah, so you know what? Just do what you can. That's all. Because people need our help. And if we can give it, and then one day maybe you'd find yourself in need of help, and then somebody would help you, and you'd be like, awesome.
Yep.
So I've been playing Destiny, same as you. You're still playing much more than I am, though, because you have 6 characters to go through. So here's my problem right now is, and I appreciate how much they have streamlined things, but God, I find myself missing some of the end game grind of Destiny 1. Like, the reset happens, and I go, okay, I'm going to do my flashpoint. That takes less than 45 minutes if you're, you know, depending on which planet you're on. Shit, it could take you like 10 minutes.
On Titan.
Yeah, and then jump into Crucible matches for me because I suck. That's a couple, you know, it's a couple hours.
Sure.
And then do the Cade maps.
Yeah.
Again, doesn't take long. And I'm like, okay. I guess I'll wait,
Is it next Tuesday yet?
Right. And I've done, like, I finished all the blue quests. So, yeah. I mean, I still need to, like, grind for my Mita multi-tool. I got to get the headshots and the precision kills without, you know, quickly without reloading and whatnot. But
honestly, you'll benefit from waiting from doing that because your Mita will drop high as shit.
Well, that's why I was like, I don't think I'm going to make a special effort to do it. I'll just kind of do it as a result of doing flashpoints and all that shit. Certainly, you know. I'm not going to really grind it out. And I started a Titan, but I'm disappointed that, and I know this is a stupid thing, because I used to be irritated by the amount of grind that there was, but, you know, I'm actually disappointed that from an end game perspective, that there isn't more.
Right. I feel like they went a little too far in trying to appease the people who bitched about Destiny 1. And I feel like there was probably a middle ground somewhere.
Yeah.
And they just went too far because I have 5 characters and well, 5.5 because my Titan on Xbox is a 12 now, I think. And that being said, I did all 3 of my PlayStation characters today. And I'm good for the week unless I try the Nightfall, which I plan to do. And, you know, eventually, yeah, I'd like to raid. But the raid is not something I'm going to do every week because, first of all, I don't really like the weapons, the raid weapons that I've seen. And, you know, it's like, well, if that's not the draw, because that was the draw initially for me. That's why I did Crota every week because I loved the Crota weapons and armor and shaders. And this Leviathan, I'm just really not digging the look of it because it's like the Cabal version of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
I haven't seen anything.
Man, it's everything's white and purple and gold. And
well, that's
and
what that Saints Row bitch is. That's right on my fucking ass.
You might love it, but for me, I'm just like this shit is all shiny and pretty and fuck that, dude. I want to slap on some hive skulls and shit and be golden fucking green, man.
Like fallen ears and a necklace.
Yeah, right? I want to be the ugliest goddamn warlock I could possibly be.
Like, you weren't in the shit, man. You don't know how it was.
Exactly. So, I'm just really not that into this raid. I want to do it. It's like Vault of Glass. I did it once. I was kind of done. I was like, yeah, that was confusing, and it took a long time, and I didn't get what I wanted, and I don't want to do it again.
Like, and that's, you know what, and that's how I feel. Honestly, you said you'd do the Nightfalls again. That's how I feel about the Nightfall. I was like, once I realized that, like, rat, you know, and I mean, this happens to me every time. Like, I go on the internet, and people are like, oh, you just do this. You just throw a grenade, and the whole strike is done. And you're like, that is not at all how it happens. And I mean, Like, I will take any opportunity to play with you and Petey, no questions asked. And if you're like, we're going to do the Whitefall and the night, the Whitefall. that's the clan version of the Nightfall. Sorry, we're going to do the Nightfall. I'd be like, okay, you know me, I'll bitch about it when I'm, you know, shit's going sideways, but I'll still fucking do it. I don't have a desire to do the Nightfall on a regular basis. Like, just not at all. I mean, trying to get Rat King, sure. You know, that'd be great. But, you know, realistically speaking, it's just not worth the trouble, you know, for a sidearm. And then knowing, too, that I already have, there already is an exotic quest I'm never going to finish, that one where you got to do the raid 16 times.
Yeah, that shotgun.
Yeah, so right, which I'd use even less than a fucking hand cannon.
Right. And you only get the base model for doing the initial quest. Apparently it levels up by continuing to use it, so.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was kind of surprised that I was done, you know, with Destiny. And I know I'm not done. It's not like it's a game that ends, but as quickly as it was, that I just was kind of like, oh, okay.
Yep.
So
even, like I said, even with 5.5, it's like, all right, by Thursday, you know, I'm like searching for shit to do.
Right. And that's the thing. I don't really feel like before in the last one, you could do patrols and stuff because, you know, you had to get materials and whatnot to upgrade your weapons. And I don't really feel – and I mean for – and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but there's just not as much of a reason to kind of do that now.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't know. And then I did start the the Dishonored DLC.
Yeah, Death of the Outsider.
Yeah, it turns out I just don't give a shit about Dishonored. Like, I mean, it's fine. I'll play it. Like, I don't mind, like, because it's something to do until, like, you know, the Shadow of Mordor sequel comes. But yeah. I guess I just care less about Dishonored than I thought. because I'm kind of playing this game and I'm just like, whatever. Like, I don't, okay, I guess. Like, I guess I'll just, you know, kind of sneak around because that's what I'm supposed to. And I'm not going to get in a fight with anybody because it's just how I play stealth games, not like because I have any real, like, tie to the world to be like, oh no, you know, I can't be seen. I don't want to kill that guard. Right. I'll fuck that guard up. His parent, yeah. I'll fucking laugh as his kid cries at the funeral.
So my thing, yeah, my
fucking matter
my
me,
thing with Dishonored, dude, it happened on Dishonored 1 and Dishonored 2 for some reason, and it's obviously something I'm doing that I don't realize I'm doing, but I just get assigned kills when I'm trying to do a no kill.
Oh no, you know what it is? It's, and this has happened to me too. Sometimes, if you, depending on where you place bodies, they can get killed through no fault of yours or somebody else's. So like, oh. That's why if you've ever watched my streams, I try to put them like behind doors or in dumpsters because they will totally get killed. Like a bullet could ricochet or like the wind could blow,
right.
You know, particularly strong, or someone could like use harsh language around them and
right.
They die.
Because, man, I was playing Dishonored 2, and I was trying to hurry because I was stupid and started it, what, you know, I play games slow. And I started it 2 weeks before Destiny 2 was coming out, and I knew.
That is not a game to rush through, yeah.
Right, but, and even though, I wasn't. I was like, you know what, I was doing the patented Brandon style of play where I was saving it every 4 seconds, and if I fucked up, I was backtracking to a previous I was like, and I was watching my shit, and I got to the end of a level, and I thought all was good, and this is probably a quarter of the way through, and it was like I looked at the global stats and it was like 2 kills, and I was like, bullshit.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm not gonna go back, I know that, because I'm trying to get done with this fucking thing. So after that, I was just like, eh. And I still didn't kill anyone. I still played it. I choked people out, and I jumped around and did my thing, whatever, because that's just how I played Dishonored.
Yeah.
But I'll never go back to it. I'm stupid. Like, I'll buy that DLC because they put a physical release out, and I'll buy that. I may or may not play it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I actually had there was a bug in Dishonored 2. So remember the museum level? With
yes.
All the witches around, there's oh, actually
yeah.
a bug where one of them would die even if you didn't kill them. And I remember that happened to me on a stream, and I reloaded from earlier in the evening and did that whole level. There was a way you could do it to where you could figure out who died, and then you just made sure that I forget exactly how it worked, but essentially you had to go and check all the bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a way, like you shot them with, so you had to choke everybody out and then shoot them with sleep darts. So they
Jesus.
Would like, yeah, it was fucked up. And I spent like an hour and a half, Friday night or Saturday night or whatever, doing it to make sure
that
didn't happen.
Oof.
Yep.
No thanks.
Yep. The problem is I just get too anal, even though I don't care about trophies. I'm like, nope, can't do it.
Yep.
So, anyway, okay. So this week I think it was released last week, was Netflix did a adaptation of Gerald's Game, the Stephen King story, and I guess it was directed by a guy, I forget his name, who has wanted to direct a Gerald's Game movie ever since he read the book, which is a weird life goal, but I'm glad he fucking did it.
No shit. What's his name? Fuck. I'm sorry. I know his name, but I can't think of it. Mike Flanagan. Fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So big Gerald fan. King. Just can't think of his name.
What else has he done? Because the name's familiar, but...
He did this movie called Hush that was really fucking good. It's on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, with the deaf girl.
Yes.
Yeah, that movie's great.
Yeah, and he did Oculus, which was had no business being as good as it was.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
did he do Lights Out?
I really like.
He may have done Lights Out also, which, again, had no business being as good as it was.
Yeah, Hush I really enjoyed.
No, he didn't do Lights Out. I'm sorry. Never mind.
But so Gerald's Game is a story. It's a Stephen King book. About this woman and her husband who go to this like remote cabin, whatever, and he handcuffs her to the bed to get freaky deaky, and then promptly dies. And she
well, he pops
He pops the Blue Thunder first, man.
Yeah, but when the book was out, Blue Thunder was not a thing. The Gerald's Game was written...
Is it that old?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe, you know what? Maybe it's not. Maybe I'm just my...
That was my thinking, was like Stephen King saw the commercials for Viagra, and they were like, make sure your heart's strong enough for sexual activity before you do it. And he's like, what if it wasn't?
Like, no, and then no, he comes no, up because, with,
that was my thinking.
Yeah, hold on. 1992 is when he wrote the book, and I don't know where that is in relation to Viagra.
Well, maybe not.
But I don't think in 92... that Viagra would have been as big of a thing.
Right. Yeah, I don't think it's that old either. That just ruined my whole perception of how I came up with the story, though.
but old dudes dying while having sex, that's
been
tale as old as time. That's
exactly.
That's like the sequel to Beauty and the Beast, basically.
You're right.
So he pops a Viagra and then dies. And then she is trapped to this bed, and she starts trying to figure out, well, how am I going to get untrapped from this bed? But then also starts reliving things that happened in her past, reliving things with her husband, and it kind of goes from there. And so Bruce Greenwood played Gerald,
mm-hmm.
the titular Gerald, and Carla – I always get – if it's Gugino, I think is how you pronounce her name. She played what's her name? Jesse,
yeah.
And okay, first of all, I got to give a tremendous amount of props to Bruce Greenwood, because that dude, I don't know how old Bruce Greenwood is, but he looks amazing. He spent pretty much the entire movie acting in his underwear.
Yeah.
And Carla Gugino, she spent most of her time acting handcuffed to a bed. Both
in
of these actors. In a sexy nightie.
Yeah.
Both of these actors were fucking amazing.
Yep.
They were great because
yes.
And then Carla Gugino had to act against herself because
right.
she would project herself talking to herself. So she's in one point she's this completely freaked out. Oh, and by the way, there's like a stray dog who keeps coming in and eating her dead husband and trying to eat her.
Yep.
She's terrified, trapped to this bed, but then she's a mental projection of herself kind of helping her talk through it. And so to have to act against, you don't have another person
right
to act against in that situation. You're acting against yourself. But the switches between the two of them, fucking great. Just
yeah.
great.
Yeah. She turned in. I saw somebody, I don't remember who it was, but one of the people that I saw on YouTube or whatever, I think it was Chris Stuckman, whatever. He said if she's not at least considered for an Academy Award, like, it's an injustice, and I agree completely with him.
But she can't be, and this is the problem, because Netflix movies aren't released in theaters.
Oh, that's right.
The reason that Amazon movies, like Sad
You're
Boy
right.
Lives in Massachusetts, what the fuck is that called? Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see that.
That was allowed to be nominated because Amazon released it in the theaters. And then
well, that
yeah.
sucks. That really sucks.
It absolutely sucks because she was great.
She was, brilliant.
Bruce Greenwood was great. And here's the thing.
Yep.
I read this book like a while ago, and I had forgotten about a particular part in the book. And I don't want to spoil it too much, but let's just say that there is an event in Jesse's past that she had never told her husband about. And it comes out while she's trapped in the bed. And it involves her as a child, and it is incredibly disturbing.
Yep.
And I had totally forgotten about it.
Well, I had no idea because I never read the book.
I had forgotten about it until 5 minutes before they showed it. And that, like, set it up, I should say. And
yeah.
then I went,
right.
oh, shit. And let me tell you... I don't know. Sometimes the horror that you know is coming is worse than the one you never saw coming.
Yep, absolutely. Oh my god.
because it's a rough thing to watch, and it totally informed like a lot of her choices as she later in life, and you just feel bad for her because.
Yeah.
Not just her older self, but her younger self in right. terms of like the type right. of life that kid had. And
exactly. I couldn't, man. I couldn't stop thinking about it for like, I'm still thinking about it. Like I tweeted you today. I'm still not okay. Like yeah. I just, and it's because I have kids and it's like, I don't know if it's going to hit as hard if you don't have kids, but I can't imagine that if you do and you watch that, like you just, how can you not think about Jesus Christ, that poor child and yeah. the life she led, and then her watch her grown up self in the situation have to relive it after it had been repressed.
Right.
And she, oh God, and how she was connecting all the dots to where like mm-hmm. every decision she made.
Yeah.
It's basically stems from this incident.
Yeah.
And that is just so fucking sad. Oh God. Yeah. And it's so fucked up.
Yep. No, absolutely. The only thing I didn't like about it, and I don't, and the other thing that's cool. So let's get into this for it. So the event that happens, with her when she's a child, takes place during an eclipse. So Gerald's Game came out in 92. Stephen King wrote another book called Dolores Claiborne, which was a movie with Kathy Bates.
Yep.
And Dolores Claiborne was also put out in 92. And Dolores Claiborne's great book. I just read it a few months ago. It's the story of this woman in Maine who, during an eclipse, and this isn't a spoiler, kills her husband.
Mm.
Shoves him down a well because he was abusive and he was trying to fuck her daughter. And there's a point in in Dolores Claiborne, because it happened during the eclipse and the eclipse played such a large part in Gerald's Game, that I was watching this movie and I was like, I wonder if it's the same eclipse. But I was like, well, that wouldn't work out though, because time-wise, when Dolores killed her husband, she was like in her 30s. So Dolores mm-hmm. Claiborne takes place in the present, and what happens is the woman that she's taking care of dies, and everybody in the town thinks that she killed her because they all assume she killed her husband. And it's told completely. It's basically told she goes to and it's narrated this way too. She goes to the police and she tells them the entire story. So the whole book is told as if she is actually telling another person. It's not just like John said and then he said. It's
oh, gotcha. Like,
and I mean, it's a little off-putting at first, but you get used to it and it's really good. And so when she tells the story of killing her husband, that was like 30 years ago. So you're like, well, that's not the same time at the eclipse. Well, actually, no, I guess it would have been because, yeah. So anyway – yeah, I just realized that because when she was a child, she would have been 30 years younger. Duh.
Right.
Anyway,
right.
So she tells this. So Dolores Claiborne, she says after she killed her husband, she was feeling this weird shit happen. She had this vision in an eclipse where she looked through like a doorway and there was a young girl there. And all she knew about that girl is that that girl needed her help. She didn't know what was going on, but she knew that girl needed her help.
Jeez.
And then in Gerald's Game, she mentions about how when she was a girl during the eclipse or later on in the eclipse or something, she saw something and it was like she was looking through a window and she saw an old woman.
Right.
And the woman, and she knew like that the woman would help her or something. I forget what it was. And so again, I'm watching this movie and I see the eclipse and a lot of Stephen King books are kind of tied together, particularly
right.
when you start to get to all the Dark Tower stuff. But even like The Regulators is the same story as there's two books he wrote and one is a flip side of the other. Insomnia. I think Insomnia is one and then The Regulators is like the flip side of that. And I was like, I wonder if this eclipse has anything to do with Dolores Claiborne. And they mentioned it. I was like, holy shit. but yeah, there's one gory section, and I don't know about you, but I was doing the whole like looking away, stamping my feet.
Yeah.
As for all the gory things I
would that
seen,
be I'm assuming the degloving scene.
oh my God.
Dude, that was so fucking cringeworthy. That was I was just like, first of all, I was like, that's enough. That's enough.
Yeah.
Why cut so much? And then it's like, oh, fuck. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It definitely – I was squirming. I was definitely swerving.
And the worst part about it, so the worst part about it for me was right before she kind of figures out this plan to get herself out of the handcuffs, she said, okay, visualize it.
Right.
Earlier in the movie, something happens and you think it's real, and it turns out it's just like a hallucination she's having. And all I could think of was, oh my God, is this not actually happening? Is this her visualizing
right.
what's going to happen?
Yep.
And then we're going to have to either see it again,
yeah.
or it's going to be worse, or it doesn't work. Like, that was my
yep.
my fear, is that this actually wasn't real.
Yep. I had the same feeling. I was like, this is either worst case scenario, or it's going to somehow be worse than this. Like, I was just like, I was honestly scared of like what was coming next.
Yeah. So the only thing I didn't like about the movie is that, and I don't remember if this is in the book, but so while she's having these visions and she's got her husband there and whatnot talking to her, she keeps seeing death.
Mm-hmm.
And, which makes sense because she thinks she's going to die.
Right.
And he's got a box of things and like trinkets and stuff. But then later on, she sees like a footprint in the blood. So you're like, well, wait a minute. Death, if that was a hallucination, it wouldn't actually
right.
leave a footprint. So they kind of explain some of that and wrap it up at the end. And
yeah.
I just didn't like the way they did it. I would have preferred it just ended prior to all of that. And I don't know. And I understand why they did it, particularly the last scene of the movie. Like, I
yeah.
get it. And I don't remember if this was in the book or not, but I just felt like it wasn't necessary.
That's what I was curious about, actually, with that. What I was going to ask you, since you read the book and I didn't, because I felt like probably the book, it seems to me the book would not have been so in your face with, well, here's how that whole thing went. And the movie definitely, you question it up until the end.
Right,
as to whether
right.
or not, you know, she's seeing what she's seeing. But at the end of the movie, you're definitely find out one way or the other. And I was curious if the book did that. And the other thing that fucked me up was that
it does.
It was that they were like,
yeah.
oh, no, yeah, in Alabama. And I was like, what? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I had no idea. Like, I had no idea that's where they were. Or, like, I guess – I assume that's where they were based on, you know, all that shit at the end.
Yeah, I mean, the only difference is that, you know, the book takes place in Maine.
Right.
You know, like all of his other books. But yeah, the stuff at the end, that was in the book.
Okay.
And I think, like, I understand, like, again, I understand kind of why they did it. I don't think it was necessary.
Yeah, well, like, it's funny, like, I loved the shit out of this movie. Again, yeah, it fucked me up, and like, I was still thinking about it way too much, or maybe that's a good thing, however you interpret that, but a couple days later, but I don't know, I read a lot of things that people were like, well, it's a really good movie based on a book that wasn't that great. And I'm like, well, so is it, how different is it? If the book wasn't great, but the movie was this good, like, I don't understand.
Well, I think if I had to, I mean, I remember liking the book, but I like most of his stuff. I think that the only thing I can think of is maybe, you know, there's a difference between trying to fill a, you know, hour and 45 minutes and trying to fill 300 pages.
Yeah.
And if the setup is basically the same, you know, you might find yourself in the book just spending way more time. I mean, all the main beats of the book are in the movie, and it could just be
yeah.
that due to the time of it, they just were able to kind of streamline it and just make it much more impactful.
Right.
And maybe the book just kind of went on, you know, longer.
I gotcha.
And had more of that stuff in it. So, but it's totally worth, like, when I saw, it was one of those ones that I didn't even know about, but when I saw, like, I got the little notification on the Netflix app, they're like, oh, hey, we, you know, there's a trailer for Gerald's Game, and I was like, wait, they don't mean, and I love Carla Gugino, like, I
yeah.
love her, I think she's fucking amazing, and And I was like, God, yeah, absolutely. Fuck yeah, absolutely. And I thought it was fantastic. I mean, we are already spoiled with it.
Yeah.
Spoiled with good Stephen King.
Thank God.
Like, that was it, right?
My biggest hope, my greatest hope, is that based on this resurgence of Stephen King popularity and people wanting as much Stephen King as they get in their lives, please, for fuck's sake, somebody put Silver Bullet out on fucking Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus
yeah.
Christ, please. It's been long enough. There is literal trash on Blu-ray. Garbage. And fucking Silver Bullet does not have even a bare bones Blu-ray. That is fucking criminal.
It hasn't.
It doesn't.
I would love for them to do a remake of Salem's Lot. I would love a remake of Salem's Lot.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, though, the Rob Lowe, Rutger Hauer one, it's not bad.
I haven't seen that one. I saw the David Soul one back in the day.
Yeah, I have that. Yeah, I have that one, too. But there was one in, like, the mid-90s.
Oh, yeah, it was okay, like, I remember that one.
It actually is pretty good. Mm-hmm. It kind of holds up still. I watched both not that long ago because, you know, they put out the Stephen King Blu-rays and it was like It and Salem's Lot and Cat's Eye. They all got Blu-ray releases.
I love that movie.
Oh,
holy
yeah.
Holy shit.
Yep.
Jimmy Woods' wife getting her fucking fingers chopped off because he won't stop smoking. Holy shit.
Yeah. So they all got these like blue and they're bare bones. They're just, you know, even the It Blu-ray, the kids wanted to watch the new It and I was like, eh. I don't know about the theatrical one, but I have this one that came on TV.
Right.
So we watched it, and it is – the transfer is horseshit. Like, it's awful. They didn't do anything but slap the DVD onto a Blu-ray disc and call it a Blu-ray.
Right.
But even – there's not even that for Silver Bullet, man. There's nothing.
Right. Wow. So you saw Leatherface. I did. I had not read positive things about it, which is why I didn't take the time to go see it. I mean, I love the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie.
Yep.
The remake I just was kind of okay with. And I think I've seen the second one, and that's probably where it ends. I don't think I have seen anything beyond that. But I think I still think the first one is fantastic.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's one of those things that it's always going to be considered a classic, no matter how many times they make stupid sequels or fuck up or whatever. I still think at the end of the day, when we're long gone and people are making American Horror Classic collections on whatever format movies come out in, it's going to be on there.
Right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's going to be on there. I think
like, you know, just that scene when Leatherface jumps out and clocks that cat on the head with the fucking hammer.
Yeah, slams the door.
That is one of the best, like, scariest, most surprising, even now. I've seen it as many times as I've seen it.
Right.
It gets me every fucking time. I mean, just the matter of factness. That he just pops out and clocks that fucker like he's just a piece of cattle. He's like, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck about you. You're going on the hook.
Exactly.
And it's just like, ah, bam. And you're like, what the fuck? You're like, you don't even know what happened. You're just like, what the fuck just happened?
And it also, it came out at a time where you're used to that character would have been the main guy in the movie.
Right. Yes.
You know, the final girl thing was still sort of new. Ish, and so you're used to strong male lead, you know, and then the rest of the cast are kind of expendable, and Toby Hooper's like, oh, you like this strong male lead guy here? Yeah, fuck you, he's out.
Yeah.
Now what are you going to do? You know what I mean?
Right. Like, now you're stuck with this whiny asshole in the wheelchair.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a classic.
So how was Leatherface?
All right, so I will preface the rest of my statements by saying that I'm a huge fan of the directors, particularly Martyrs, which Martyrs
–
no, not Martyrs. Sorry, Inside. Fuck, I fucked it up. It's Inside. I get those two.
I haven't seen Inside.
All right, so Inside is this like really extreme French horror film, and it's like pregnancy horror –
And I want to see it. I just can't find it anywhere.
Yeah, it's very good if you can find it. Or if not, fuck it. I'll bring you my copy to Kevin Smith Friday. But it is – it's so good. But it's one of those things where I watched it, and I was just like, that was great. I need to take a shower. like it's just – oh, man, it is fucking brutal. And so I was like, well, all right, if anybody is going to make a Leatherface flick, an original Leatherface flick, which they already did that, which
right.
I don't even know why this exists. But you know what? If they want to give somebody else a shot at it or whatever, because at this point, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is sort of like Halloween in that, you know what? We all know the character, but right. for some reason, the studios keep giving anybody that wants a shot at making one, you're like, no, right. oh, you know who Michael Myers is? How about you want to reboot the franchise?
Right.
You know, or, hey, Leatherface? Oh, yeah, you made that fucked up ass movie Inside? Yeah, no, go ahead, player. You do you. What right, you got right. for us?
Right.
So it's like the continuity is completely gone. It doesn't matter anymore. And this is exactly the thing with this movie. It's like, all right, as its own movie, as a movie, it's not terrible.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing about it is the gore. But it's if it was just a movie and I watched that, I'd be like, you know what? That wasn't as good as Inside. That's pretty fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
But as the origin for Leatherface, it is fucking awful.
Yeah.
Awful. It's like the opening scene is with the mom, the Sawyer family mom, and they've got somebody that they want Leatherface to cut up for dinner with the chainsaw. And apparently it's his first kill or it's one of his first kills. I don't know, but he can't do it. He's like, and he drops the chainsaw. There's like that scene in the trailer where the chainsaw hits the floor and skips across.
Yeah.
That's in the first like 10 minutes of the movie. He can't do it. He can't kill the guy. And so, you know, they're like, well, motherfucker, this is dinner. So, and she's like, you let the whole family down and whatever. And then it cuts ahead a little bit. And that's where you see him wearing the cow's head or whatever. And he's kneeled down on the street.
Oh, he's hiding in the road?
Yeah. So they end up, something goes down between the girl and the truck and everything. And she ends up getting killed. Well, then Stephen Dorff is the sheriff, who's her father. And he's like, so he has it out for this family, basically, is my long way of saying Stephen Dorff is supposed to be the insane
and the way
it plays out. Yeah. He's the villain, so to speak, sort of, because they kill his daughter. And so he's like, you know what? He brings child services in and all this shit. And he's like, fuck the Sawyer family, has all the kids taken away from the mother and her and the grandpa and everything. And so at this point, the movie flashes forward and they're all in this mental institution for homicidal or fucked up ass younger people.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's two kids who they don't identify, you know, who is who, but there's two brothers who are the Sawyers. And one of them is this large person with long hair and he's kind of slow. And I think they called the kid who couldn't saw the guy up a different name. It's like Bubba or
mm-hmm.
something. This kid is Bud. And so then he has his other brother who takes up for him in there, who's not slow, and they ends up having this whole thing, and they break out of the institution because Mama Sawyer shows up trying to get her kids back and this and that. And from here on out, it's basically Stephen Dorff chasing these kids through Texas, trying to catch up to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they break out with this other crazy guy and this other crazy girl, and they go on this sort of a rampage while Dorff is chasing them.
Devil's Own or Devil's Rejects.
Devil's Rejects is very, very Devil's Rejects.
Which I it's like, hated, by the way.
Oh, I love Devil's Rejects, but I don't want it to be in my Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And that's the thing. I wonder if the, I'm going to ruin the name, Bastillo and Maury, like, I don't know if they so much just really like the Devil's Rejects and wanted to make this movie. And the studio was like, well, hey, you make it the origin of Leatherface and you go for it.
Right, right. They're like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, they're like, we've heard of him. Like Chainsaw,
leather,
right?
Yep. Leatherface, you say? Yeah.
Because it is not at all a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. At all. It is very much its own thing done in the vein of Rob Zombie's Devil's Rejects. There just happens to be a character who at one point holds a chainsaw and by the end, the very end, puts on a mask made of human skin, which also happens in the Devil's Rejects, by the way. So,
right.
Yeah, it's not at all a Texas Chainsaw Massacre film. It's not a horrible film until you put it in that category.
Right.
It's on its own. It's a weird French fucked up sort of homage to the Devil's Rejects.
Right.
The minute you tell me it's the original Leatherface, I'm just like, this is fucking garbage. It's terrible.
Right.
So it was very disappointing.
So how do they handle that, though, in terms of, like, canon? And I mean, is that even a franchise that has a timeline that runs through it for canonical purposes? Or
I can answer that with one very relative example, and that would be the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D. The last film in the series, right? Supposedly, that one picks up immediately after the first one, which ignores part two. And this movie, this is how ridiculous the timeline and the everything for Texas Chainsaw is. So this movie supposedly takes place at the end of Texas Chainsaw in 1977, 78, whatever it is. And motherfuckers are walking around with iPhones.
Sure.
So, no. There's no... The timeline is ridiculously fucked up. The only... Like I said, I'm not going to ruin the ending for somebody... Because somebody may still want to watch it and like it. But it's... The thing is, like, for me, Texas Chainsaw Massacre at the beginning, which I guess was sort of the prequel to the remake, not so much the first one, is a much better origin story.
Okay.
Much better movie. This one... I don't know what the fuck this is a prequel to. Maybe there's going to be a sequel that is based on this. I have no idea, but this has nothing to do. If you're a fan of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, this has nothing to do with anything you've seen.
And that was my concern when I saw the trailer, as I was just like, well, I don't know. Is this like going to actually be a thing? Like, is this a,
I think this will be as overlooked and it's weird. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The New Beginning. It basically has this following that the same way that Halloween 3 does, because Halloween 3 was universally hated, at least as far as I knew, until, you know, the internet or a few years ago. And all of a sudden, which I love Halloween 3.
Is that Season of the Witch?
Yes.
It's a weird fucking movie.
It's bizarre, but if you follow Halloween 2 with that, everybody's going to be like, what the fuck is this? Where's Michael Myers? No, this has nothing to do with anything.
Like,
and so,
ask, what the fuck are you talking about?
Right. And so that's the way that a Texas Chainsaw Massacre Next Generation works. If you watch, you know, Texas Chainsaw 1, 2, and Leatherface 3, then you get A New Beginning, and you're just like, Matthew McConaughey has a robot leg, and Renee Zellweger is, I mean, you're just like, what?
Oh, shit, you're
fuck?
Right.
What
oh,
is
God,
this
I forgot
shit?
All about that.
Right. It makes no sense. But. Here we are. Let's see. I rented that in, like, I don't know, 95, 96, maybe. So, what, 21 years later? And all of a sudden, people are like, oh, it's fucking great. And I'm like, really? Did you always think that? Or did you think that now because it's cool to think that? Like, I don't know. Right. So, you know, maybe, you know, this movie in 20 years or so will be looked back upon as something amazing, but. In 2017, as of this recording, I wasn't very impressed with it.
As of right now, if this is a time capsule, you'd be like, dear future moviegoers.
Yep. So, yeah, oh, and also, just side note, our old pal the Iron Fist shows up.
Does he really?
The deputy. The sheriff who's supposed to be the evil character, and we're supposed to feel sympathy for these fucked up kids. Yeah, his goofy, bumbling... dumb as fuck deputy is fucking Iron Fist. So, like,
well, at least they cast him correctly.
That was the highlight of this movie for me was laughing when Danny Rand walked on screen. Like, that's as good as it got for me.
He's just like, did you get that look on his face?
He did.
I don't really understand what's going on.
Yep. He did. And every time Steven Dorff was mean to him, I just laughed. I couldn't help it.
Like, I fought the dragon. What's the dragon's name? I forget the dragon's name.
I have no idea.
In Kun Lun, I fought the dragon. I fought the Wang Chung. Everybody Wang Chung that night.
Did.
Well, so then I guess what you're saying is I can safely skip it.
Yeah, there's no reason to watch it.
Okay.
Unless you're just, you know, a diehard gore fan. There's some pretty, there's some pretty stomach-turning shit. Not all of it even has to do with, like, blood and guts. Like, there's a couple of things that go on in the insane asylum where I was just like, fuck! Like, it's pretty, like I said, if you see inside, then you kind of know the level of violence and brutality to expect, and they don't skimp on it. They bring their gay game to this one. So
right. All right. Well, I mean, I'm not a big fan of just kind of watching violent shit just for the sake of watching violent shit. I'd like there to be, you know, kind of a plot and a movie around it.
Yeah. No. Go ahead and skip it.
All right. So last thing before we get too far is, so I have been dutifully watching American Horror Story. And I was kind of surprised to hear that you just watched the first episode and then never watched any more. And I just was curious. I've watched all the episodes at this point. You've watched two.
Two.
But I guess I was curious as to, you said you hated it, and I just wanted to know, like, where exactly, like, what, where your hatred of it came from.
Right. So it very much stems from social media and my absolute exhaustion. And see, so I've been referring to this season as AHS Facebook. I don't call it cult. So, you know, the fact that you don't do Facebook the way I do.
I don't do Facebook at all.
I know. And so I do still. And so it's like, yeah, I'm like, you know what? I scroll through the feed a couple times a day. But when I get home and I turn on my American Horror Story, the last thing I want to see in the fucking world is my Facebook feed and my face happening again. And that's all it is. It's like, I don't know. Maybe it gets better. I don't know. Like I said, I've seen two episodes.
It doesn't.
But, God, what's her name? The actress, the main girl who
Sarah
has
Paulson.
She is goddamn horrible.
And I think she's supposed to be.
Ugh.
Like this is my problem with, so American Horror Story has always been a show where they may have an idea as to what they want to do when the season starts, but for the most part, they just throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks. Sometimes it works. Lady Gaga as a sexy-ass vampire.
Goddamn right.
Asshole, like, old-ass hotel.
Yep.
That worked.
Yep.
You know, fucking Vic Mackey as a repressed homosexual carny lover.
Yep.
Did not work.
Right.
like, sorry.
That's the other thing about the show. The two seasons you would think would have been the best suited for me have been the worst. I'm like, how did I hate Freak Show? Are you really?
I like the first half of Freak Show, to be perfectly honest. Like, Jessica Lange is a weird, surviving, like, amputee. Like, but then it got weird.
Well, the same thing with Roanoke. Roanoke, I thought.
First half of Roanoke was the best season of American Horror Story that they've ever done.
Absolutely. Second half, worst.
Yeah, what the fuck. Yeah. Cuba Gooding Jr., I mean, he was amazing. Like, first half of Roanoke is the best American Horror Story season they've ever done.
I agree.
And so Cult, I agree with you. Like, I think, though, that Sarah Paulson, I think she's supposed to be horrible. I think what they're trying to do, to say in their very ham-fisted and completely obvious way, is that anybody, and in this case the anybody is liberals, will abandon their principles the moment shit goes sideways for them.
Yeah.
And we see that. Not just when she's like she votes for Jill Stein rather than Hillary Clinton, but then is upset that Trump won.
Right.
But also, like, later on in the show, and I don't really know who watches it, and we're going to just spoil stuff because it doesn't matter. Later on in the show, she ends up getting, like, this security door put on her house, and she ends up killing like the head busboy from her wife's restaurant because he comes to her house and she thinks it's one of the killer clowns and she just shoots him. And she gets the gun from her neighbors next door. So, you know, they kind of show her at the very beginning anyway, the first few episodes, they focus a lot on her.
Yep.
And they kind of show just over the course of time her like abandoning all of her so-called liberal principles because things are getting difficult for her.
Mm-hmm.
My problem with the show at this point is that I just genuinely don't, and this is really true of any season of American Horror Story, I genuinely don't know what it is they're trying to do or what it is that they're trying to say.
Yeah.
If you're trying to say, okay, well, you know, here's the thing. I'm full on, I'm a gun control person. No problem. Like,
sure.
I think that there's, you know, whatever. There's a way to satisfy the Second Amendment and keep people safe.
Yep.
But if I felt like I was being terrorized by a gang of killer clown serial killers,
yeah,
would I, you know, consider buying a gun to protect myself and my family? Yeah, yeah. I probably would, but I don't know if that necessarily means I'm abandoning my principles. So
right.
Which is, I mean, I think it all depends on kind of how you're framing your principles in the first place. If you're saying I'm 100% completely anti-gun, no one should ever have a gun ever, and then you say, well, except for me, then yes, absolutely.
Right.
But what the show seems to not take into consideration is the fact that in many cases, positions can have nuance, and there's not this idea of just a black and white, like you can only have this particular
yeah.
position and that's it. Like they don't seem to allow for the idea that one, your position could evolve over time, but also it's not quite as simple as that thing good, this thing bad.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's you know, it's you hate to say the word situational, but that's, you know, you put somebody in a situation where, you know, I don't know. It's
what. Well, And I know, yeah, and I agree with you. I know what you're trying to say, and I agree 100%. But the show doesn't seem to think that. The show seems
right.
to think that anybody who changes their mind
right.
is like somehow a hypocrite, and that I hate that type of thinking because the inability to consider the fact that someone's position could change or grow over time is
exactly.
part of the reason why things are as shitty as they are right now.
Yep.
Like, we should allow the possibility that someone's circumstances can change, and as a result, their thinking on a particular matter could change. Like, nobody, God forbid, anybody ever should be locked into the way they felt about a particular subject when they first found out about it or were,
exactly.
you know, God forbid, 18 and first exposed to it. Like, I mean, Jesus Christ, is that
yeah.
really what we want?
Right.
So I feel like the show is kind of making fun of her for that. Now, granted, in her case, it's a pretty extreme turnaround, and she's extremely insufferable. Like, she
yeah.
just seems like an incredibly annoying human
yes.
being.
Yes, yes.
And that doesn't – and again, I don't know what they're trying to say. Are they trying to be like, oh, you know, liberals are annoying? And then that may be it. You know, who
right.
knows? You know, I don't know. But it's just – it's one of those things where – I don't really know what the show is trying to say, and I don't need it like laid out for me.
Right.
But I genuinely don't understand what the point is, especially
right.
now that they're getting into who the cult of clowns is.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know what they're doing or
okay.
where they're going with it, because
I was going to say, because they're assuming a lot just based on what I've seen, that people are going to watch 10 more episodes of this.
Well, that's what I don't understand. Okay, so I'm gonna. So you're not gonna watch anymore, right?
No, I'm done.
Okay, so I'll tell you, the cult of clowns. Of course, Kai. We knew that.
Yeah.
The guy. So him, the black newscaster.
Okay.
Sarah Paulson's wife.
Oh shit! Okay.
Yeah, the gay guy who lives next door and his wife.
Well.
Who else? Oh, the well, you didn't see the episode. There's like this guy at the grocery store, and later on he cuts his hand off so he can go.
Oh, okay.
And then Kai's sister, Billie Lourd.
Jeez.
And so, and the therapist.
Oh.
Sarah Paulson's therapist, that's Kai's brother.
So everybody except her, like, as far as I've seen.
Well, no, he's not in the cult.
Oh,
he
okay. Just,
he's Kai's brother. Kai and the girl.
Okay.
So the girl that's Kai's sister, Billy Lord.
Yeah.
He is their brother.
Wow.
And his dad was like disabled in a work accident, so he was like really shitty to their mother, and you know, Kai was like kind of a normal kid, but then the guy like, you know, started abusing his mom, and then he went to some fucking red pill site and got the idea to kill him. The mom killed the father, but then they decided to just keep their bodies. And the therapist was like, well, we can't like tell the police what happened because mom just got all this insurance money and the death tax would take the money away. And I just got my practice off the ground. So we just need to pretend that they're still alive.
Gotcha.
And so when you find out that, like, and Jesus. Even, like, it doesn't make sense for Sarah Paulson's wife to be one of the killer clowns because of the reason she gives, she's like, basically she's like, well, I love my son so much.
Mm.
I need to burn the whole world down in order for him to have a world I want to believe in. And I'm like, really? I think there's probably a middle ground.
You'd think.
I mean, honestly, the best part of the show is Dermot Mulroney.
Yeah, yeah.
He plays like the skeezy head of the news channel, and he's sleeping with Emma Roberts, and she's like total like bitchy Emma Roberts character.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's great. Like she just is like, I mean, they cast her for a very specific reason, and she plays it to the nines. And then she gets murdered. I'm not saying the best part was Emma Roberts getting murdered. I love Emma Roberts, but just the way that she did such a great job of playing that character, so all this stuff was just revealed, right? Like we just found, like we knew last episode, who all the clowns were with the exception of, Sarah Paulson's wife. But now you're just kind of like, okay, but what the fuck? Like, what is that? Why?
Right.
Like, where is this going?
Yeah.
What are you doing with it? It doesn't make any sense at all. It just seems to be that you're – because what are we going to do? This was just the fifth episode. How many episodes are there? 10, 13? I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, usually 12, 13, something like that.
Yeah. So what is supposed to happen now? They're all – and they're just like killing people and they don't seem to have a reason. Like Kai is trying to get elected to the city council. Well, what the fuck is that going to be? Let's say he gets elected. What?
Right.
It's just like some weird ass political thing. I don't understand. You know, I don't know where they're going. They've revealed so much at this point. Like I don't ever remember a season of this show kind of showing as much as they have this early.
This early, yeah.
So
well, that's kind of where I knew Roanoke was about to do something weird because it was the same way.
But at least I felt like Roanoke, you got half of a season before they really got into the whole, okay, like I feel like you knew that, yeah, it was a reality TV thing, but you still had half of a season before they did the time jump and went, okay, now we're going to do the, you know, Roanoke reunion or whatever the fuck they called it. Whereas here, all the cards are on the table. They're just like, okay, this is what the show, you know, here's all the clowns. And you're like, okay, all right, great, thanks. Yeah. I'm happy, good, yeah. I guess. So yeah. I don't want to watch another 7 episodes of them just terrorizing Sarah Paulson. Like, I have no interest in that.
Right.
Like, absolutely none.
Well, yeah, I obviously don't either because I'm done, so.
But here's the thing. I still need to watch it because I just want to know, like, what happens.
Yeah.
So, and that's my problem.
This is the first season I'm not going to finish, I think.
A sane person, a sane person at this point would be like, no, what are you doing? No, you don't like this.
Yeah.
No, why are you watching this? But that's not me. I watch bad television, and I keep watching bad television. I will say, though, I don't know if you watched on Sci-Fi the Channel Zero last season.
No, I didn't.
I was not a big fan.
Okay.
I thought it was just kind of okay. That show is a million times better this season. They're doing this whole weird kind of haunted house thing with it. It's really kind of fucked up.
Okay.
And I think it's worth watching. It's much, much better. It's much better than last season.
Cool. Do I need to watch season one to watch the good stuff, or can I just watch the good stuff?
No, because they're supposed to – they're kind of like anthologies.
Oh, okay.
Each season is supposed to be separate.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so no, you don't – you can just skip it.
I'll look into that. And The Exorcist came back on, I noticed.
Yes.
And I didn't see the premiere yet, but
– I haven't either. But John Cho is in it this season. It's very exciting.
I'm excited, very excited for that, because I love the first season.
There's no business. You know what's frustrating, though? You can't stream it.
Right.
You can't get it on Blu-ray.
Yep.
I was like, what the fuck? Like, does Fox... Like, I mean, that show was hanging on by its fingernails for ratings in the first place.
Right.
And then you're going to be like, you know what would be great is if we allowed people to watch the first season. They're like, nah.
Yeah, nah.
We don't need that.
Right.
Why would we possibly want to let people know...
Right. We greenlit season two, but yeah, if you missed all the important shit for one, you probably still be fine with two.
Yeah. Why are they like, who is this hot Latino priest and this odd Eastern European gentleman? Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Who cares?
It's cool.
We'll do a flashback in the pilot.
I'm like, and John Cho. Right. Okay. Sure. Why not? Yeah. Because I was like, I actually thought to myself that I would be willing to put off watching the second season if I could watch the first season again. But Fox is like, no, we're not going to let that happen for you.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, okay, sweet, thanks. Appreciate it.
I at least like to watch finales again usually before I go like head first into a new one. I do that. Because I'll be like, you know what, it's been a few months. I remember most of the major hits, but like, especially something like Walking Dead or something that left me with a cliffhanger. I like to watch, you know, to refresh at least the last episode before I go into the new one.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I can think of is given the caliber of actors that they had in the first season, that they're just not doing anything at all. They have nothing to do with the second one.
Yeah.
So they figured, well, it's not that big of a deal. You'll get it figured out. You know, you'll figure it
out. Right.
Fairly quickly, but I still want to watch it.
Yeah, I do too. I'm excited to watch it.
Well, cool, cool. Let's see. So what's coming up, I think on the gaming side for me, I'm actually playing, there's a golf RPG that came out on the Switch.
Nice.
I'm playing that. That's basically taking up most of my time when I'm not trying to get milestones and shit done in Destiny.
Yeah.
I guess Shadow of War, whatever the fuck it's called, that would be the next one for me. Although I did see that the Amnesia and look, those are free.
Yeah, yeah. Which
PlayStation Plus
is really stupid because I paid $8 for it, and I've only played probably 2 hours of the first Amnesia, so.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Well, like Metal Gear Solid
is
free, too, which I started that game, and I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah, I couldn't, and then I did, and then I stopped playing it, so.
Yeah. So I think for me, Shadow of Mordor will probably be the next one.
Well, the next new thing I'll play will be Wolfenstein.
That's not until the end of the month.
Right. I just bought Mad Max for $5 on the Xbox.
I think $5 is a good price point for that game. The reason being that it's fun.
Yeah.
It's just that if you play it like I do, where you do everything,
it
gets pretty fucking long in the tooth.
Yeah, I won't
be
doing
that.
And
if you only paid $5, you could be like, you know what? I got 10 hours into it.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
And then you could quit.
I'll run through the campaign and I may do whatever side shit is necessary for me to be OP for whatever happens next in the campaign. But that's all I'll do. Like, yeah, I don't.
I mean, I did everything.
Yeah, no.
And I don't even know from a trophies perspective if I did it all. But if there was like a marker on the map to do shit, I did it.
Yeah, no, I won't be doing that.
And then, I mean, it really. You know, same thing as Mafia 3. Like, I think Mafia 3 and Mad Max are very similar in that the setting is one you typically don't see. The atmosphere is great. The voice acting is great. The story is good. But there's so much, like, extraneous open world bullshit that I think they felt they had to put in there.
Right.
Because it's just what open world games do.
Right, right.
And it really... You know, for people like myself that are, you know, some kind of completionists, it really did act against, you know, what they were trying to do in the rest of the game.
Gotcha. Like I said, it was $5. I almost pulled the trigger at 20. It's done nothing but drop. And so I was like, you know what, for $5.50 with tax, that's fine.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree 100%.
So, if I play it 10 hours, if I play it 20 hours, that's fine.
Because I think I rented it. I definitely rented it, but then I don't remember if I bought it or if I rented it. I think what happened is I rented it, and then I put it away. I sent it back, and then I had a stretch of time, and I rented it again, and I knocked it out.
Because I was thinking that you played it and then stopped, and then you were like, I got nothing else to do, so you went back to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what I did. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think the driving is great, and the fact that they got an actual, like, Australian voice actor for Max is fantastic. But, yeah. Okay, well, that's it for us. That's episode 30, what did we say?
Two. 32.
Sure, 32. Divided by Werewolf. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out. We, of course, will be back in the next couple weeks with Tales of
Kevin
Smith and whatever... hopefully, Junkenstein's revenge skins that we have obtained from the new Overwatch event.
And so, Super Dark Times also. I mentioned being really excited to see that, and it finally hit VOD.
Oh!
So I'll be watching
that. Yeah. I was just reading about that yesterday.
Yep. So I'll be watching that probably tomorrow, so we'll be able to talk about that too on the next one.
Yeah, I'll have to watch that too. And then what was the other one on Netflix? Little Evil?
Little Evil, yeah. You need to watch that. It was enjoyable.
Yeah, it's. I've been watching the Vietnam War documentary by Ken Burns, so I need to lift my spirits. Yeah.
Yeah, shit. This ought to do it.
So thanks, everybody, for hanging out. We really appreciate it. Of course, you can always follow both Mitch and myself on Twitch. If you want to catch all the latest streams, and then we have the YouTube channel to follow up on anything that you might have missed. So for myself and Mitch, once again, we appreciate you hanging out. Thank you. Good night, and have a good evening.